Representative Barbie Hart joining us today. Representative, welcome.
Well, hi, guys. Thought I'd jump on for just a few minutes and join you. So thank you so much. Kind of exciting news, I dare say.
It is. What was the mood like at the Capitol as the news was breaking yesterday?
I had walked actually upstairs to leadership, and oftentimes that's where people, you know, congregate and up there. And all of a sudden we've got, they're talking, and I didn't quite know what they're talking about yet, with high fives and excitement going around, and they're like, yeah, the ruling came back. So you immediately knew what that meant. I'm like, really? They were like, unanimous decision. And so throughout the Capitol, it was, I mean, even with the lobbyists, people were ecstatic. And also this, like, they knew it was coming. It was so, I'll tell you, usually you listen to the Supreme Court as though we know what they're going to come up with. But it was almost like sometimes the Supreme Court keeps, you know, their cards close to their chest or whatever. And this one was just like, they showed their hands. Like, you know, that's what it felt like. And so if a ruling had been anything but this, I think people would have been shocked. And but it was, people were excited. And I dare say even those who, a few of those who might not have supported this and, I think some people felt like they're maybe up against the wall on, this vote as far as voting for the other side. And I'm not obviously going to name names, but I think there's a few who were, they also knew what was coming, and I think they were okay with it.
Okay. So, I wanted to ask you, and I'm naming a name, but not in a really negative way, but Steve Birch, Democrat, put forward a personal bill that would pause the parental, you know, the tax credit. I feel like that went over like a Baby Ruth candy bar in the punch bowl. And it's not going anywhere, and everybody knows it's not going anywhere.
Oh, that's correct. And I sit on education, where Steve used to sit. So, I expect that from my Democrat colleagues. If my Republican colleagues, if any one of them did something like that, that would be really, really bad form. I don't know that I'd call this bad form with, Representative Birch.
Yeah,
I don't know if that even makes sense right there, but if one of my Republican colleagues decided to do that after what happened, that would be very bad form.
But it's just more expected from the Democrats to do this.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. So, how's the rest of the session going, Barb? How you feeling?
Boy, I'll tell you, this week was a busy one for the committee which I chair. As I think you guys addressed it a little on Tuesday, but on Monday it was my committee that heard the anti-discrimination ordinance, concerning the cities. And I had us move rooms. The local government room is in the smaller room, and so we made arrangements to go into the largest room, which is typically the June Rules room, where I'm also a member of that committee. And the room was packed. You know, there was overflow, and when myself as a chairman receives a compliment from those on the left, including Misty Tolman from Planned Parenthood and others, that they thought that I had run a committee that was very respectful and very fair, which is what I absolutely tried to do, because I know I saw some of the comments that were being made, by the left as they're doing their planning and anticipating. They for some reason thought it wasn't going to be fair. And I'll tell you, it was a great hearing. It was a long hearing. We heard from both sides. We had some great testimony. And then yesterday on the floor, Representative Skog brought that forward, and in our committee, it passed 13 to 3. And then on the floor, I think it was 53 to, as the Dems, of course, voted, whatever, a few Republicans voted against it. But I did speak to that one on the floor, really the first one I'd spoken to on the floor, because Julie, you weren't here yet, but Neil might remember when I was running for city council in 2013, the anti-discrimination ordinance for the city of Idle Falls was a big issue. And with help, with some people who helped us and helped some of those on the council to understand that the public accommodation is what hurts our First Amendment, and especially to freedom of religion. So, you know, I would have been fine with housing and employment, but nobody's trying to take away employment. I mean, nobody really is, plus we're an at-will state. So, you know, I address these things and the history of that and the fact, you know, the there are so many that keep saying, you know, the state keeps infringing on local government, which we don't. And you guys know very well, in these local races, everybody's like, hey, we're just removing the snow. Like, you know, the cities do way more than remove the snow, but there's an absolute role for the city. But on some of these things, as I, a week ago, I spoke to the Association of Idaho Cities, and I just told them that, you know, I disagreed a little when I submitted to them that the cities often infringe on state business, and the anti-discrimination ordinance actually, in my opinion, was state business. They had taken it up with the SOGI at the Board of Works and said, no, we're not going to do anything. So anyway, I thought it was a good hearing. It was good floor discussion yesterday, and we'll see what the Senate does.
So, Barb, I want to ask you, because there's a very local connection to this. Julie and I were not thrilled at all that during the midst of the pandemic, you had the Idaho Falls City Council passing one of these non-discrimination ordinances without really a robust public discourse, without a lot of notice. It was hard to be at the city council meetings because it was in the pandemic. It was just bad form, in our opinion, to pass it during then. If this goes through, will that negate what Idaho Falls passed 5-6 years ago?
Oh, 100%. And so what Idaho Falls did is in 2013, they passed two of the three legs. It's housing, employment, and then you have public accommodations. As I said on the floor yesterday, when the powers that be come into the cities, they only talk about housing and employment. What they really want would be the public accommodations. But the public accommodations are, it's the ones now that are allowing, you know, like up in Sandpoint at the YMCA, men and women's restrooms, as well as forces the cake baker to make the cake, where you can buy anything in the store. You just can't force someone to go against their conscience. Let me just also share, I was highly involved behind the scenes in the, I think that was 2020, and Councilman John Radford worked and testified that they should not be having that meeting, that they needed to wait till the public could come, and I so appreciated him and his effort to try to say, don't do it now, but the city council did pass the third leg of the anti-discrimination ordinance, and this would repeal it.
Did he end up voting for it or against it?
Well, he did end up voting for it, but John was the only council member I felt that did, and actually I believe we also had discussions with Shelley Smead. You know, she was willing to listen, and I appreciated that, and I do believe actually she had advocated to wait, but when push comes, you know, had come to shove, and nobody was allowed. That was, you know, I remember some of the council members saying that, hey, they can email us. And so I know COVID was a different time, but that was the wrong time to bring that forward. Nonetheless, that happened. And, you know, I do believe it's a state issue. So we shall see.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. We're excited to see where that goes.
Yes. Yes. So yes, we've had a busy week, and then on Wednesday, my committee also heard, you know, like a 3-hour hearing on mosquito abatement districts. You would be surprised. So that was being rewritten, but boy, I'll tell you. So, but things are starting to happen. You guys can see that. We're yesterday, we spent our whole time discussing on the floor the anti-discrimination ordinance, and today is the Article 5. So I anticipate we'll be on the floor for a while.
Okay. You know what, Barbara, we were going to let you go, but now that you brought up Article 5, we got to keep you captive here for another couple of minutes. This is one that divides conservatives. There are some who are all in on it. They really want it. And we actually interviewed Doug Ricks earlier a few days ago. He's all for having the Article 5 convention. But there are others that are saying, no, this is a bad idea. We don't want to do it. So where do you stand on this? Lay it out for us.
Well, I think it's a bad idea. I could go through the whole history of the Article 5, and that provision was literally added last minute when when Eldridge, Gary, and Mason, they didn't like the idea of federalism. Didn't want to give so much power to the federal government, and they wanted it to remain with states. So they threw that out there as a bone, thinking that they would join in, and then they still voted against it. As soon as they voted against it, then they called for another convention of states, a convention for the people, and that immediately got shot down by the founders who were there. And they also said, we've got quote after quote, they should never do this again. It was a bad idea because it tears people apart. And I would, assuming everything went as the other side would have it go, assuming that it went through and we have, the conversation and everything went as they said, and so now we've got an amendment. Well, now what happens? I mean, that's why I keep asking people, now what happens? What, are we going to go arrest the city congressman to force them to do something? Like, what's the mechanism that's just do we remove them all from their office so that those who are just in this get to, like, how does that force anything that they can't already do right now? I think that when we open this up, we open up on our 250th anniversary, we open up a can of worms that in the convention in 1787, they almost literally got torn apart on the fact that they couldn't even agree how they're going to have representation from the large states to the small states. We don't even know how that represents, the other side will throw it, well, it's one state, one vote. Really? Where does it say that? And how are you going to convince California that it's one state, one vote? Idaho is not going to have very much influence or representation at all. And let me say one other thing, guys. There are those who address the convention. See, they had a mock convention, and I literally, one of my friends who's also a legislator at Utah, they speak of the event as very spiritual. And I was pondering that, and I said, of course it was spiritual. You all went there with the same intent. You were united in what you're trying to accomplish to see how it would work. You are all united. When you have a convention, you're not going to be united, and you're not going to have a preset. Sorry, I just choked on that. You're not going to have a preset direction as to what to go, and you're going to argue about it. This is not going to be something that's going to be unifying. It is going to be contentious. And I worry that we end up with a changed constitution. We have the ability to quit spending right now.
Barb, and by the way, I've choked on my words before too, so don't feel bad. But what is the tenor of your legislative colleagues on this? Do you think it's got enough support to pass?
Well, last year we were able to defeat the group thing of the Article 5 that they kind of brought them all together. This year there's separating them out, and so we're looking right now at the balanced budget. And it's going to be close. They started again on the House side. I don't know if that means that they think they have more support on the House than the Senate, or I don't know. But we've been talking with our colleagues, and it's going to be close, but I'm quietly optimistic.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Representative Ehart, thank you for all your hard work. We really appreciate it.
Hey, can I say one last thing? And that is, you are right that we have good people on both sides of the issue. We really do. And I'm trying to make sure that and that none of us demean our colleagues on any side, because we all do want the same thing. So thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Barb, our ad hoc lawmaker interview today.
Love how she just jumps in and helps us understand certain things that are going on. So thank you.
All right. Let's take our next call really quick. We do have to take a break soon. But caller, go ahead. What's on your mind?
I'm on the state's medical insurance through Regents Blue Cross. And I was on the app yesterday looking at a EOB, and a pop-up came up that said, invite your family. I'm like, huh? And so I continue to read. It says, you will have limited access to health information for family members 13 and older until they create an account and share it with you. And I'm just like, going back into 1984, and like, what is, am I still living in Idaho? What the heck's going on? And so have you guys heard anything about that, or what? I haven't been able to get a hold of the Regents yet to see how that really impacts me, or if it was really supposed to come to me, because it's like, yep.
None of what you said sounds familiar at all. So I'm not even sure how
that's, that's straight from the, I didn't, you know, use any of my own words there. That's straight from the app. So,
okay. I don't know. Anyway, maybe we'll learn more about it. Appreciate the call. 208. 208-